broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios. This is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. We will be joined, take a quick break in a moment, and then we'll be joined by Scott Shapiro from Churchill Downs. Nice Stars of Tomorrow card down there. Two-year-old stakes action. We'll get some thoughts on those races from Scott, maybe a little thought on the meet overall as well. And speaking of two-year-olds and Churchill Downs, don't forget this weekend, Kentucky Derby Future Pool. I mentioned it over the last couple of days. If you go to the Kentucky Derby website, KentuckyDerby.com, there's a handicapping or a wager link up there. Click on that. You will be brought to a page, and you'll see Future Wager. You click on that, and you can get free PPs for the Future Pool and also for the Future Sire Pool, which is fun, too. That one you bet. You make your bet on which sire will produce the Kentucky Derby winner. So that could be fun as well. Again, that continues throughout the weekend until later on tomorrow afternoon. So keep that in mind for this this weekend. And I mention it all the time. Take a look at these two-year-old races today at Churchill before you jump in and make your final selections. To me, we're so far out. All others is almost the only logical proposition, but this early, all others tends to go off rather chalky. So we'll see how that all works out by the end of the day tomorrow. All right, as noted, we will take a little bit of a break. When we come back, we will be joined by Scott Shapiro. You see him down in the paddock doing the commentary on race days at Churchill Downs. So thought we'd reach out and get some of his thoughts on the two-year-old stakes action today and more. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Happy to be joined now by Scott Shapiro. You see him every day pre-game show and before the races down at Churchill in the paddock. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you today?
Very good. Happy to have you on board. Before we get into it, can you give us a little update? What's your weather going to look like down in Louisville this afternoon?
Yeah, we should be clear. It looked earlier in the week like we might get weather like we did for the first Stars of Tomorrow car, but it looks like that was pushed back to tomorrow, where it looks like we'll get some rain starting this evening. But the coast should be clear. It was just a little above freezing when I woke up early this morning, but temperatures should rise, and we should have a real nice late fall day here under the Twin Spires.
What was it like yesterday? Because up here in upstate New York, it's been cold now for 2 weeks. You know, there have been some flurries around. We're not Buffalo, thank God, but there have been some flurries around. But it looked like people were kind of milling around in shirt sleeves yesterday down there.
Yeah, we had some real cold temperatures for about a week to 10 days, and then it's warmed up the last couple of days. And yesterday particularly was a super nice day out for the Clark card, which was great. It was a big crowd on hand, a lot of people enjoying themselves after the Thanksgiving holiday. And, yeah, the weather was absolutely perfect.
That's what it looked like. As I say, just looking around, the people, you know, I was watching the in here doing the handicapping show, and I was watching the Winner's Circle at Aqueduct, and they're wearing parkas. And down your way, they were wandering around, like I say, in shirt sleeves. So that was nice to see. And fill us in as well. I know you and the Sister Trek Fairgrounds, Thanksgiving, a big day at both venues. And fill us in on what it was like Thanksgiving afternoon down at Churchill.
Yeah, Thanksgiving was fun. We got off to an early start like we normally do at 11:30. Had a real good crowd out here, a lot of families, a lot of people that probably don't make it out to the track that much that come out for the tradition, which is unlike any other, not to steal from the Masters, but not being from Kentucky, I find it really cool and interesting that people spend their Thanksgiving at the racetrack, because I know I used to, you know, run off maybe for 20 minutes here and there to watch some races while family was around, and it was definitely frowned upon. But it was a lot of fun. We had a couple of good stakes races. The Cardinal was won by Delica, and Played Hard won the event, the Fall City, and set us up for a big last 3 days of the meet. Yesterday was fun, and excited for today and tomorrow.
Yeah, they're both nice winners. Played Hard looked really good, and I've liked Delica for a while now. It's just a really hard hitter on the front end. So it's a nice day of racing. But like you, I'm envious. Kentucky, it's a different world. Thanksgiving, hey, let's go to the track. Let's have our turkey. I love that. Can't knock that at all. We mentioned it, the Clark yesterday, and I pulled up the stretch run from the Clark. We'll take a look at this, and it'll be number one proxy. My top pick was West Will Power. I was a little surprised that one went off favored. I thought Rich Strike with the triple digits was going to take the action, but he went off as the second choice. Rich Strike disappoints a little bit, winding up running last in there. I don't think, is that the correct? Yeah, that's not the right race that we're looking at. But take my word for it, proxy, the number one wins. West Will Power runs second, Folsom third. Again, Rich Strike last. As I say, I like West Will Power. Top of the stretch, I thought, I'm in pretty good shape. But proxy just had a great trip and looked pretty good winning the Clark yesterday. Your thoughts?
Right. West Will Power, who had favorable soft voyages in each of his last two starts, including the win in the Fiat at Keeneland, where he set a very slow early tempo, looked on paper like, once again, that might be the case. But that wasn't the case, because proxy, coming off the freshening for Michael Stidham, was fresh. And Joel Rosario gave, you know, one of his better rides. I mean, this guy, when he's on his game, he's as good as anybody around. And he was on his game yesterday. He won both stakes races. And he's putting pressure on West Will Power from the outside, being fresh, a little more early speed, I think was the difference. The top two, pretty much convincingly, the top two ran 1-2 in opposite order around the track. You mentioned Folsom, who came from off the pace to finish third. But, very impressive effort from Proxy, who had been taking on probably better competition than he faced in his first Grade 1 win, particularly here at Churchill when he lost to Olympiad and American Revolution. But I thought the top two ran very well. And in terms of Rich Strike, I don't know if it was coming back on short rest. I've heard, you know, a couple stories perhaps. Maybe he was not at 100% health-wise, but an underwhelming performance from the Derby winner to probably end his 2022 campaign.
Yeah, we'll see what he does next year as a four-year-old. But the race, you know, the duel with Hot Rod Charlie, I think, validated there's some talent there. And, I saw earlier, I mentioned it on the handicapping show earlier, I saw a tweet late last night that the owner had said came out of the race and they looked and found an infection. I haven't seen a follow-up on that yet, but we'll keep our eyes on that. And that would certainly provide an excuse for Rich Strike. Going to be fun watching next year. Proxy, in the meantime, sounds like they're headed to the Dubai World Cup there. No surprise being the connections. Also, as the meet's wrapping up over the weekend, I pulled up last night the human side of things. And this is going to be a fun last couple of days, particularly on the jockey side, but on the trainer side as well. Luis Saez comes into the day with 17 winners. Tyler Gaffleone, 16. Brian Joseph Hernandez with 15. So they're there with 2 days left within two of each other. And I looked, and they all have full cards of mounts for the most part over the next couple of days. Jockey race, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. And then the trainer side of thing, Mike Maker has a 10-7 lead over Steve Asmussen. Brad Cox in third with 6. But Asmussen has 13 today and 10 tomorrow. Now, there are a couple of races where he overlaps some horses, but I think both the jockey and the trainer side are going to be a lot of fun to watch over the next couple of days down there.
Without question, for the most part, Tyler Gaffleone has run away with a lot of the jockey titles, and even when he has it, he's found a way to win them over the last few years here. But with Luis Saez in town and then Brian Hernandez Jr. on the top of his game, we've got to see a lot of really good race riding here. It's been neat having Louis here, and he as well as Tyler ride a lot for Mike Maker, who you mentioned is having a great meet as well. It'll take a lot of work for him to hold off Steve and Brad, particularly with two-year-old races today and then tomorrow with a full 12 race card. But, yeah, some stars at the top of both the jockey and trainer standings, and it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. Tyler has won so many jockey titles in a row here, but he has his work cut out for him here with Louis. And then, like I said, Brian has a lot of live mounts as well, and you mentioned it too.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, no question about it. Louis, of course, with his agent, Kieran McLaughlin, doing a great job, and so that'll be fun. Wanted to touch on one more note from the past few days in the meet in general before we get into this afternoon, and that's going back a couple of days ago. It was just a claiming race, the eighth race on the card on the 23rd, but Tonal Impact got it done for owner-trainer Steve Asmussen with his son Keith Asmussen on board, his first win ever at Churchill, and watching the reaction of the family. There was a nice picture of Keith's mom, Steve's wife, bringing the horse into the winner's circle, big smile on her face. And that was just a fun addition to the holiday weekend, the win for Asmussen with his son Keith in the saddle.
Super cool moment for a trainer that's won more races than anyone here in North America. We get to see him so often here at Churchill, and then, of course, down at Fairgrounds, and just, yeah, horses at all levels, so many different circuits. I mean, he is quite the trainer, quite the businessman, and to have his son, Keith, get the job done, of course, won a race on Superstock, but this one was big, you could tell. Tonal Impact came from well off the pace, swung wide, and had enough left in the lane with that momentum to get to the wire first, and yeah, you saw his Keith's mom and Steve's wife, Julie, very proud of her son, and of course, always probably proud of her husband, but a very cool moment here to start Thanksgiving weekend where, you know, we like to spend time with our families when possible, and they got to do it in such a great way to kick off the holiday weekend.
Yeah, we just had a shot of the whole family in the winner's circle after the races. It was Keith's first victory at Churchill, so it was a lot of fun. It was fun to watch the interaction with the family and the interviews afterwards. Obviously meant a lot to Steve as well. All right, let's jump in. We'll kind of work our way back from the Kentucky Jockey Club, which will highlight the afternoon as race number 11. Kentucky Jockey Club Grade 2 event, $400,000 up for grabs, going a mile and a 16th. And I talked a little bit about this race on the handicapping show we did just a little bit earlier. I'm taking a little bit of a shot in here. I'm going to pull up a stakes replay going back to October 29th at Belmont. We're going to watch Freedom Trial get it done, the number 4 horse. This is a turf runner so far, 2-for-2 on the turf in the career for John Terranova. The dam never tried the turf. The dam never won in 6 starts. But the second dam produced opportunity. The dam herself has a sibling called Leader of Men who was a stakes winner on dirt. So I thought, you know what, maybe a little bit of a price. I'm going to play around with Freedom Trail in the Kentucky Jockey Club. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a good race to take a chance in. I don't think it's an overwhelmingly top-heavy field. I think Instant Coffee is a deserving favorite off the win at Saratoga on debut for Brad Cox and then the fourth-place effort to well-beaten fourth, but to Forte and Loggins, who you could argue were two of the best two-year-olds, Forte likely to be two-year-old champion male this year. But Freedom Trail has done very little wrong, and the numbers have come back good, and the pedigree certainly looks versatile. So I think there's every reason to at least include Freedom Trail in horizontal sequences. I ended up landing on Cyclone Mischief, Seth. This is a horse that definitely needs to get a little bit faster, but I've been impressed with what I've seen from the Into Mischief colt through two starts. Very difficult to win at first asking on the one-turn mile here at Churchill, and he did, tried to do so on September 16th, was very live on the tote board that day, took them almost all the way to the wire at a two-length lead, and just gave it up late to finish third, beating less than a length. Didn't get a good number in his maiden breaking score going two turns for the first time at Keeneland on October 19th, but he won that race for absolute fun. So I'm hoping he had a lot more left in the tank. And I don't think the outside draw will bother him. I think Joe Talamo, with this one's tactical speed, should be able to angle in and avoid a wide trip. But I think it's a pretty wide open group in the Kentucky Jockey Club. I am going to leave off Curly Jack, who is maybe the class of the field, won the Iroquois, a grade three here, but I just am not a big fan of what has come out of that race. Two favorites put up kind of a dud, so I'm going to let that one beat me, but I'm going to use Dennington, I'm going to use Instant Coffee, I'm going to use your horse Freedom Trail, and then I pick Cyclone Mischief.
I like it. I'll have to toss Cyclone Mischief into my mix at the price. So I was a little bit off the rails, went for a little bit of a price in the Jockey Club, but the Goldenrod, I don't know. I don't know if I can get past Hoosier Philly. We're going to take a look at the Rags to Riches here. She's going to be the number one horse getting it done. Two for two for Tom Amos. It's always a tough ask coming out of a maiden debut victory and stepping into stakes company like this. But boy, she wins by over seven lengths. So Hoosier Philly just looked very good to me. But I'll tell you what, underneath, I am going to play around a little bit with Pure Pauline at 15 to 1. I think the buyer numbers will scare people away a little bit. But I thought the win last time on the stretch out touted her as one to watch for Todd Pletcher. So Hoosier Philly on top for me. But I'm going to, as I say, stick Pure Pauline into the mix. What do you think in the Goldenrod?
Hoosier Philly has been so good in these first two starts, Seth. I mean, 5.5 furlongs on debut, clearly a horse that, you know, wants every bit of the two turns, but she was very professional in winning that race, hardly was asked by Edgar Morales in a decent maiden special weight. And then you mentioned it, no easy task to come back against winners for the first time in a stakes event going two turns for the first time. And talking about winning easy, I mean, she got lost out there. She was doing it so easily and was a little bit green. But this just appears to be a horse that has an extremely bright future. If I had an opportunity to bet a Kentucky Oaks future on a horse right now, it would definitely be this daughter of Into Mischief. She's even money on the line. I wouldn't be surprised if she goes off at 1-5, maybe 2-5. And I have no desire in trying to beat her. Like you, I'll look to get a little bit of a price horse underneath in the exotics. I do think there's some speed in here. And if Knock Your Socks Off, and take to the main track, which is an if. This is a very turfy pedigree on both sides for Chris Block. But Chris has only sent two horses to run here at Churchill over the last few months, and they both won. Charlie's Penny and then She Can't Sing won the Chalukyi last week in very impressive fashion. And I think she has the right running style to pass a lot of tiring rivals, assuming she takes to the main track.
I like it. All right, let's move on. Couple of two-year-old stakes for the two-year-old sprinters, and the Ed Brown is race number nine on the card. I went back a couple of races and got to the maiden breaker for Powerful. Steve Asmussen, runner, broke the maiden up at Saratoga, and then they stretched to two turns and went into a grade one in the Breeders' Futurity, never in it. I'm thinking Powerful, going back to this race we're looking at, the maiden breaker two back, maybe on the cutback will be the one to beat. Top Recruits, interesting to me. Frosted Departure, Mr. Bob. But again, I'm a little bit logical in here with Powerful on the cutback. Your thoughts on the Ed Brown?
I think we're on about the same page here. I found it difficult to get overly creative. Powerful, you mentioned the maiden breaker at Saratoga, the start before that. The debut was also at Saratoga in late July. Was bet down to 2-5 favoritism. Struggled to get by that race, finished second, beating ahead to a Marcassi horse that had an experience edge, came back and got the job done. And then the Breeders' Futurity you mentioned, not only was he outclassed and maybe a horse that is a sprinter in the end, but he got out of the gate slow from the far outside and was caught very wide into the first turn, basically put a fork in him from there. I think the race is just an absolute toss for those reasons. And if he can get back to those sprints and maybe take a step forward, I think he's the one to beat. And then you mentioned Top Recruit, and you mentioned Mike Maker earlier. He's been sending out live runner after live runner, hence having a couple of race lead in the trainer standings. And this is another horse that's cutting back. I thought he had a legitimate excuse when finishing fourth in the street sense on October 30th. Not only was it over and off going, but he was a part of a three-way speed duel and actually put away the other speed horses before faltering in the lane. Two fills won that race, got a perfect trip. Hayes Strike and Flipperino, the second and third place finishers came from the back. I think he'll appreciate the class drop as well as an outside draw. And then maybe Mr. Bob is a little bit of a wild card. This is a big step up in class, but he ran really well against high-level maiden claimers at Keeneland on October 28th for Robert Falcone Jr., who dipped in for him at Saratoga for $75,000 and the claim paid immediate dividends. Definitely going to get a class check here, but I like the way he did it, and he should offer pretty good value, so maybe worth throwing in.
Yeah, Falcone, a New York guy, but playing a little bit down in Kentucky over the past few months or year or so. And this one, as you say, interesting off of that claim at Saratoga. Already has paid off for him, but certainly would pay off with a placing today. A little bit earlier on the card, start the stakes action up. The two-year-old filly sprinting the Fern Creek. Once again, I couldn't get by the favorite, Key of Life, and we'll take a look at the Myrtlewood. Key of Life is going to be the number six horse here to get the stakes victory, and that's what tilted me. I really looked at Twirled and debated putting that one on top, and I'll again remind people, watch Poblano earlier in the card to maybe flatter Twirled. But I thought with the stakes win that we're watching under the belt, the experience level went in favor of Key of Life, so I tilted slightly in that direction over Twirled. I couldn't find anything super clever in here. What did you think in the Fern Creek?
Well, Key of Life, I mean, this horse has been an absolute machine since the debut effort. I remember coming in the spring for the debut, and this was one of those horses that everybody said couldn't lose on debut. And she went off at 2-5, and talking about botching the break, Seth, I mean, she completely missed it that day, made a big middle move, and ended up finishing third. Since then, has been unstoppable, just kind of a machine. She won for fun on Arlington Million Day against the likes of Black Forest, who won on the Breeders' Cup undercard and races later on in the Goldenrod, and then two straight races at Keeneland, where once again she was just a machine in front-running fashion, or sitting just off the early pace in the allowance event, winning the Myrtlewood on October 28th. There is a lot of speed signed on in here, and it's all, most of it is outsider. Twirled, you mentioned Red Carpet Reddy, who's a bit of an unknown after a 10-length win over the slop at 37-1, and Tell Me When. But I don't know if Key of Light necessarily needs the lead. I mean, I think if someone, one of those want to get aggressive from out there, or a couple of them, I think she could angle off the inside and sit just off. She's going to probably need to run into some trouble to lose here. I just think she's that good. One horse I'll mention that maybe underneath might be a reach, but number one, Baytown Lovely, is an off-the-pace type horse that, you know, is outclassed probably, but there's not a lot of horses that are going to settle here. It's a compact group of all horses that like to be prominent. So maybe if you're looking for value, you can play kind of maybe a 3-1 and then three with a couple horses with one and try to get that 20-1 shot underneath, because I do think there's going to be a couple tiring fillies in here at the 6.5 furlongs battling it out early.
Ah, interesting. I like it. And this kicks off the Derby City 6, so the races we've talked about, there may be a couple logicals. There's maybe a couple interesting horses in there. People want to play around that Derby City 6 or pick 5, pick 4s a little bit later on. Scott, you mentioned the future pool earlier. We have a Kentucky Derby future pool this weekend, as well as a sire pool. Any interest in jumping in on these early pools? And if so, what are you looking at?
I usually like to demand value in these situations. We're so far out. I mean, unless there's something I really feel good about, and I just find it tough. But there's the one horse that I'm going to be price-dependent on that I'm watching is Loggins, who I mentioned briefly, finished right at the wire with Forte in the Breeders' Futurity. And then Brad Cox and his team opted to skip the Breeders' Cup Juvenile to be, to gear this horse up for a big Derby run. And I'm just kind of hoping that maybe the public will, you know, with the recency bias that all of us gamblers have, maybe forget about this horse a little bit compared to horses that are probably as equal but ran in the Breeders' Cup or maybe ran in an event after that, maybe run today here in the Kentucky Jockey Club. But I'm going to need at least 15, 20 to 1 to jump in on Loggins, and I don't know if I'll get that, but he was the one I was keeping an eye out on. But just a really fun wager, and this is the only chance you'll get set at the sire wager, so which is always interesting to handicap, because you have a horse, you know, sire like Violence, who most people probably wouldn't be interested in, except for the fact that Forte is by Violence. And then you have other sires that may not have a particular horse, Gunrunner, Into Mischief, except Tappet, etc., that may have, you know, horses that look like somewhat contenders, but you know in general they're going to produce horses that will maybe develop a little later. So I just think it's an interesting handicapping puzzle. I don't necessarily have a strong take on it, but definitely wanted to let people know that that is a wager out there as well, available on, up until Sunday.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. You definitely have to demand some value. And you know, this early, you'd like to jump in with the all others, but you never get, at this point, you never get value
right
there. I'll typically, the last couple of pools, I'll pick up a couple of all others and see if I can make something sneaky happen. But it's going to be fun to see how this one shakes out. And again, that sire pool, I think, is interesting as well. Scott, before I let you go, just update us. What's your off season look like?
My off season will consist of a combination of Turfway Park and Fairgrounds. I'll be heading down to Fairgrounds. Flights are booked, hotels are booked for LeCompte, Risen Star, and Louisiana Derby Week. So I'll get to hang out with Joey Decay for a bunch in New Orleans, which will be a lot of fun. And then I'll be up at Turfway and doing Turfway work, some of it from home, some of them up from up there in northern Kentucky. Excited for the meet up there as things continue to improve over that all-weather course. We've got some bigger barns coming in. We've got some of the barns we were used to having, leaving a bigger string behind, maybe some higher level runners than they have in the past. So should be a lot of fun at both tracks here, both Churchill Downs tracks. But it'll be nice to have a little bit of a break from the five-day racing weeks here at Churchill, but I know I'll be ready for the chaos to ensue soon after I get a little caught up on rest.
All right, great. So we'll look for you. And really, over the past few winters, that Turfway product has moved forward, and it looks like it's going to be nice again this winter as well. So we'll look for you out that way and on the big days down at the Fairgrounds. And, yes, say hello to our friend Joe Christofek. Tell him I'll catch up with him down at the Fairgrounds shortly, and we will catch up with you going ahead as well. But we appreciate the visit this morning.
Always fun to chat, Seth. Thanks for having me, and have a great weekend. Best of luck in all your wagers.
Appreciate it. Scott Shapiro from Churchill Downs on Stars of Tomorrow Saturday. Really nice card. The four stakes we talked about, but the rest, I love two-year-old racing, and so I think it's a really, really fun card today that'll offer some nice opportunities, so keep that in mind. All right, as I mentioned earlier, with the early post in New York today, I'm going to wrap things up because I'm looking at my monitor and their pregame show is already underway. So I'm going to step back and we'll throw it down there so you can get some ideas from Andy and Anthony for New York racing for this Saturday afternoon. With the 11:50 post at Aqueduct, I'll be back in probably about an hour or so with OTV Live for a Saturday afternoon. So you can look forward to that. But again, wrapping things up, appreciate your tuning in for Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. And again, be back in about an hour or so with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. So we'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.